KNOM Update News. I'm Matthew Smith, and it's 9:02. The U.S. Department of Interior says it's considering taking Alaska tribal lands into trust. The Anchorage Daily News reports that the move could lead to pockets of so-called Indian country where tribal courts and governments would have authority to create their own laws and justice systems. Currently, the only Indian country community with a reservation in the state is Metlakatla in southeast Alaska. The state of Alaska says it opposes the move. A judge in Washington, D.C. late last year agreed with Alaska Native tribes, supported by nonprofit law firms, that sued the federal government, saying the Interior Department should have been taking Indian land into trust years ago. The department is opening a 60-day comment period on the subject. Acceptance of Indian country in Alaska was among recommendations last year from the Indian Law and Order Commission, which was first born from a 2010 federal law. And an oil spill near a Prudhoe Bay well is bigger than was initially reported. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation yesterday revised the size of the spill, the cause of which is still unknown. A malfunction in a flow line found Monday led to a fine mist of oil, gas, and water spraying across what's now being reported as 33 acres of tundra. The leaky section of pipeline is operated by British oil giant BP. After meeting with officials from DEC, the company says it's rotating crews of 20 to 40 workers who are cleaning up contaminated snow with shovels and brooms. Though news about such spills is rare, officials say there's on average at least one a day.
I looked at spills between 1996 and 2008, and that showed that on average there were over 450 spills of toxic substances each year.
Pam Miller is the Arctic Program Director for the Northern Alaska Environmental Center. In a 2009 survey on self-reported accidents from the North Slope oil companies, she says she found chemical spills were a regular occurrence. Some were small as a gallon. Altogether, the volume, she says, were alarming.
And it totaled 2.7 million gallons of toxic substances. 300 to 400,000 gallons of that was crude oil. And the rest was a range of other things, hazardous acids to diesel and other fuels.
The Department of Environmental Conservation investigates the impacts of larger incidents, but Miller says it's the overall toll on the environment of daily leaks year after year that needs to be assessed. The Alaska Pipeline is in its fourth decade of operation, and Miller says long-term deterioration of infrastructure, including corrosion, is another major issue. The Alaska Department of Law brought a case against BP for a 2006 spill. They claimed that the company had let pipelines corrode to the point that they were the cause of a massive leak that required production to shut down at Prudhoe Bay. In 2012, BP was fined $255 million. The Arctic Resource and Development Meeting in Gambell continued in its second day yesterday. The Bering Sea Alliance organized the meeting and wants to explore infrastructure, resources, and oil spill mitigation in the region. The Alliance is a for-profit organization composed of several Bering Strait communities and village corporations. They say development is already occurring in the region, and they want to see the benefit with jobs while protecting subsistence ways of life. But while many were delayed or absent due to weather, the conversation took an international turn yesterday. KNOM's Anna Rose MacArthur was at the meeting and filed this report.
Over the two-day session, a top concern arose. What is the United States' current relationship with Russia in regards to the Arctic? Mark Fessmeyer with the Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement, or BSEE, addressed the issue. BSEE creates regulations for oil and gas drilling.
We would like to continue negotiating with them. But like I said, the events in the Crimea have made that kind of difficult. So as of my last instructions, we are to continue discussions with them, but we are not to go to events that are located in Russia.
And those discussions, Fessmeyer said, involve creating standards for source control and containment, processes that minimize oil reaching the surface. Fessmeyer said neither Russia nor the United States has these standards, though he says the U.S. is in the drafting phase.
So if we get together, we talk about the best practices, we talk about what has worked, and we do have things that have worked in the Arctic and can help the Russians understand the benefit of having that sort of equipment, we think that would be a significant benefit to all the Arctic community.
Fessmeyer said a group on the Arctic Circle is creating an inventory of oil spill response equipment for all Arctic nations. The hope is to shorten response time from one country to another in case of an emergency.
There are significant issues with taking equipment across boundaries. We think that it would be a better environmental footprint if we could share this equipment and didn't have to duplicate it when it's, you know, right there in the same location.
Then Fessmeyer was asked if a plan existed between the U.S. and Russia to deal with an oil spill in the Bering Sea.
Not yet, but that's one of the things we're working on.
For now, Fessmeyer said all U.S. drillers are required to carry oil spill response equipment on board. If a vessel accident causes a spill, Fessmeyer said, that would fall under Coast Guard jurisdiction. Coast Guard handles shipping, BSEE handles drilling. The Coast Guard was invited to attend the meeting but bowed out when poor weather kept planes from reaching the island. Other entities like the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority did not attend for the same reason. With key players absent and with weather delaying the meeting, attendees heard a series of presentations instead of Arctic planning. A similar meeting is tentatively scheduled in Gamble for August. Reporting in Gamble, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Today, a Manicotti Village public safety officer shot in March of 2013 will have his name formally added to a national memorial for officers killed serving Alaska Natives and Native Americans. According to a Wednesday statement from the Alaska State Troopers, VPSO Thomas Madole will be added to the Indian Country Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in Artesia, New Mexico this morning. Troopers say the Madole family will attend the ceremony along with another Alaska State Trooper and a current VPSO sergeant. Troopers say Madole was shot and killed more than a year ago by Leroy Dick Jr. while Madole was investigating reports that Dick was suicidal. Dick is charged with allegedly stepping out of his home with a .22 caliber rifle and shooting Madole. He now faces one count of first-degree murder in Madole's death. Madole will be the third Alaska officer to have his name added to the memorial. Two Hoona police officers' names were added after they were killed on the job in an August 2010 shooting. And the 15-year push to give Nome's museum and library a new home inched closer to completion yesterday.
At this point in time, the team is looking now to what goes on inside the building.
That's Brian Wakelin with Public, a Canadian design firm helping create new exhibits for the 8,000 square feet the new museum will eventually occupy.
We're going to have a lot more room to tell Nome's story because our new gallery will be, it's the size of Old St. Joe's as we know it today, and half again larger.
And that's Museum Director Laura Samuelson, who ushered the visiting designers through a tour of the current museum yesterday and shared items in the museum's collection that there's simply no room to display now. Designer Wakeland says expanding the Carrie McLean Memorial Museum is about telling Nome's story by shaping how people experience the new building. It's something that he says should be built as carefully as the structure itself.
It's about designing an experience, and we use space to do that. We use exhibits to do that. We use atmosphere to do that. And those are things that you have to gather and sort of seek out by being there yourself.
As Wakeland met with Nome residents to discuss what should be inside the new building, lead architect Brian Meisner gave an update on the building itself.
We're on schedule, and the project is in really good shape right now.
He says the site for the new building on the north end of Stedman Street should be cleared and have utilities piped in by the end of the summer. That should make room for barged-in materials to be staged and eventually start working on the structure itself this season.
We want to be able to have those materials in Nome in time for a contractor to start assembly of the building this fall when the site's ready.
If all goes according to plan, Meisner says the new building could be completed by the end of 2015 with enough time to get the library moved in before the end of that year. The City Museum and Quercq's Beringia Museum would follow in 2016. And taking a look at the price of gold this hour in New York, gold prices were down by $7.70. Gold was trading at $1,284.60 per ounce. Silver down 13 cents to $19.21 an ounce. Zinc remained at 91 cents a pound. And Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is still on time, expected to leave Anchorage 10 minutes after 10 and land in Nome around 11:41 this morning. It's unofficially 34 degrees outside the downtown KNOM station, 12 minutes past 9 o'clock. Happy Thursday morning.